Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome to hour two of the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, and to help me kick it off is my good friend Pete from Scuba Board. Pete, how are you, buddy?
I am awesome here in Key Largo. Sun is shining. We got kind of cooler weather down here.
Cooler weather in Florida. Well, I guess that's good if you are looking forward to that type of thing. I mean, cooler, you mean in the lower 80s as opposed to the upper 80s, I assume.
Actually, 80.
80. Okay, well, 80. That works for me. 80 is warm enough and keep you from sweating your, you know, off as well.
Yeah. I mean, I walked to lunch today, met with the guy who runs the John Pennekamp pavilion there.
Yeah.
And I didn't sweat. It was like, holy cow, this is awesome. I love it.
All right, cool. So the humidity has not kicked in as bad as it can be through the summer months in Florida. So it's just perfect weather. It is really good weather right now and good for diving down there. And yeah.
Feet.
Yeah. And I know last weekend you were at that Tech Dive USA conference as well. How was it from your perspective there, Pete?
It was very well attended. It was very well what's the word I'm looking here? They had a lot of great sessions that I think not only tech divers would get something out of, but the not so tech divers would have as well.
Yes. And, you know, that was one of the reasons I wanted to go. Last time I went to this Rebreather conference a couple years ago, which I figured it'd be, you know, somewhat similar, knowing what Roz was putting together with that event. I learned an amazing amount of information from that event, and in hour one, we talked a little bit about that. But you were there. Was there any particular conference that stood out in your mind, or maybe that we could disseminate for folks that didn't get to make it last weekend, or what?
Well, I went to a session called "Why Do Divers Do Stupid Things," and it was an amazing talk. And essentially, it boiled down to the divers are kind of stupid.
Okay, interesting. So did anybody get up and, you know, walk out in a huff? Hey, I'm a diver. I'm stupid. Or was there like a 12-step program? Or I mean, what was this exactly?
Well, he focused in on a few things. And the guy who brought it all down is a guy named Mark Powell. He's written lots of books. A very smart individual. In other words, he doesn't walk in the same area you and I walk. And he's just, you know, he was very insightful of it. He showed a couple video clips. One was of these two teams, a white shirted team and a black shirted team, that were passing balls. Okay, he says, "I want you to tell me how many times the white team passed the ball." And you know, you're concentrating on it, and the answer was 13. Then he says, "Well, how many of you saw the bear moonwalking in the middle of the video?" And then he replayed the video. It's, oh my God. There's a guy in a bear costume doing a moonwalk that you never saw because you were so focused, it's perceptual narrowing. You're so focused on trying to do something.
Uh-huh. So because of your distracted or so narrowly focused on a particular job at hand, you, I don't know, miss the forest for the trees or the, you know, moonwalking bears.
Or, you know, and here's the thing, is that the deeper you go, the stupider you get. So, you know, you tend to get more focused on what you think you need to be focused on, not necessarily what you should be focused on.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, what is the purpose? Just to point out, like, hey, you're a diver, you're an idiot, So wise up or what? Or just be aware of how dumb you might be acting at the moment?
Exactly. Just realize that, you know, when you put on scuba gear, your IQ drops about 10 points. When you drop in the water, it drops another 10 points. The deeper you go, it drops more. So dive, you know, conservatively. Don't try and push the limits. Don't try and, you know, be something you're not. Enjoy the dive by any means. And this is not a slap down, you guys are stupid type talk. This is an awareness talk to realize that when you're in a foreign environment like that, that your mind tends to exclude things that it needs to include. And it's you know, we call it situational awareness in tech diving. And it's just a general plea to start opening up your mind to what's around you.
Well, interesting. You know, I that does kind of bring me back to when I first got certified to dive. I didn't really feel, when I look back on it, that I opened my eyes until probably my 10th or so dive in the ocean, because you're so focused on your depth gauge, your pressure gauge, you know, all the equipment. Is it going to work right? Am I going to die? And all this stuff. And you kind of have tunnel vision on those, you know, tasks at hand.
Exactly.
That you don't have you don't look around and like, oh my God, look where I'm at. I'm in the water column and there's like fish all around me. I feel like I'm in an aquarium. And then all of a sudden what happened to me, and I don't know if you feel the same way, but once I hit that threshold of feeling comfortable enough in my gear, I had my hallelujah moment underwater, and it was like, oh, this is what it's all about. Yeah, baby. And then, you know, I got all excited. So I guess that's kind of referring back to that, maybe.
It is. You know, it's a lot of times we, as divers, tend to go on these solo dives with buddies, you know, and it's better when you share. In fact, your program says that, how good buddy diving is. You know, and the buddy listen, I hope they have their buddies with them today. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, it's all about opening your eyes and seeing what's there rather than being like the deer in the headlights.
Got it. Okay.
Have
so
fun.
What's that? Say it again.
Have fun.
Exactly. Live in the moment. Open up and look around. Realize that it's not just what's happening in front of you in the you know, 5 feet or 2 feet in front of you. Just look around and really soak it all in. And like you said, that situational awareness aspect. So it sounds like that particular seminar had a fairly good impact on you, or at least basically the moral of the story is just like, be aware that you're probably laser focused on some task at hand, and you need to be aware that you're doing that and maybe think a little bit more open-minded, right?
Keep an eye peeled for moonwalking bears.
Yeah, moonwalking bears. Or, you know, there's always that picture online where you see the two scuba divers that are enjoying their dive in Hawaii, and they're posing for a picture with the dive master and smiling ear to ear, and behind them there's a giant great white, you know. That kind of thing. Yeah, what?
And what about the giant great white? Well, that's the giant great white that's off the coast of Florida.
Well, the one, well, we were talking about the video last week with the spear fisherman, that one, or the other one that's been migrating through, or could be the same one, we don't know.
I think it's the same one.
Yeah, because they've been, that's right, they were tracking it, that's right.
Yeah, what's their name, Katrina or Cat something?
Yes, exactly, that's right, yeah, you're right, Catherine or...
Catherine, I think you're right, I think it's Catherine. I've given her an invitation to come on down here to the Keys. We got some yellowfin, you know, snapping for her, all set out, ready for her to dive.
Well, that would be nice. I think having a resident great white in Florida waters all the time would be quite an attraction. Now, that spear fisherman, I'm not so sure he would agree with you on that, but... You know, we talked about that last week. You know, that video's been getting quite a few views and quite the comments. I think more of the divers are starting to come around going, look, you're whining about nothing. I mean, my spin on this whole thing was like, look, the guy was out spearfishing and the great white took an interest in him because, well, he was spearfishing, possibly. And
he had fish on him. I'll guarantee you that man was dragging fish.
Well,
to do what he did. He had fish on his stringer.
That's my feeling as well. But we don't know. You know, that may not be the case. But regardless, still, I mean, whether he had fish on him or it was around his spear gun after he had speared a fish, I mean, obviously there was something going on that was attracting the great white. And it wasn't just the diver. And that's what people on the surface would look at that going, ooh, look, there's great whites in Florida waters, and they're going to come after the divers now. And that, you know, with all the Jaws music and stuff, I was a little annoyed by that. You know, that was the same old type of presentation of ignorance when it comes to dealing with sharks. Do you feel the same way? Are you with me on this?
I'm with you. In fact, since you and I have talked, I've been doing my own research on shark feeding and all that stuff, and you know, I just think that we haven't done enough science for people to start making rules and laws about who can do what and who can't do this or that, because they don't really know.
Well, true. They don't know. And these guys are on the front line of dealing, these dive operators that do the shark feeds. All right, more with Pete from Scuba Board next. Stay close.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures has one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExplorerVentures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
Here at Scuba Radio, we've been fans of Force Fins for years. With over 12 styles and just about every color imaginable, Force Fins are in a league of their own. Now, they aren't the biggest company out there, just the best. So sometimes Force Fins are hard to find. That's why we've made the whole line of Force Fins available on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Order yourself a pair today, and they'll be delivered right to your door and be ready for your next dive. That's the merchandise page at scubaradio.com.
Deepwater Cay in the Bahamas has been a bone fishing paradise for over 50 years. However, what has been bringing world-class anglers and Hollywood stars to this private island paradise is also quite impressive underwater. So after a multi-million dollar renovation, Deepwater Cay now offers scuba diving to their long list of water sport activities. It's an all-inclusive out-island experience with unspoiled diving, easy access to the States, and exceptional food and accommodations. Treat yourself like the star you are at Deepwater Cay. Go to deepwaterk.com.
Surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Fish heads, fish heads, roly poly fish heads, fish heads, fish heads, eat them up, yum.
You know, I have the lead fish head from scubaboard.com on with me right now. Pete, you may know him as Net Doc. He manages that message board and along with a few of his diving friends. And he's on Scuba Radio with us today. All right, so this great white that we were talking about last week, or the video, is being sighted more. Now it's moved further south. I guess that video that we're talking about with the spear fisherman was off of Cape Canaveral or somewhere central Florida, not far from where I am. And then the same shark, which I guess...
it's the same shark.
Well, there's rumors that this is a tagged shark that they've been tracking. What was her name again, Darby?
Kathleen.
Kathleen, right. And, you know, whether it is or not, I mean, who knows? But they are tracking it. And I guess she's been hanging out around Boynton Beach is where I've heard reports from this week. And I don't know. She's obviously heading south for spring break, maybe. I don't know. There'll be a wet T-shirt contest of great whites down in the Keys that they'll try to get to later on. Maybe.
I sure hope so, man. That'd be great to have a conglomeration. You know, we had a great white in a marathon for a while last year. And I'm wondering if it's the same shark. Maybe it's got this, you know, comes down to the Keys for the summer.
Well, exactly. I mean, you know, they got a vacation somewhere. I mean, you know, they might as well pick the same place as we go, right?
So lots of tasty tourists.
True. You know, it's interesting. You know, as much as I love sharks, I do... I guess on the other side of the coin, I would be, I don't know if I'd be concerned or it'd be interesting to see how I'd react if I'm swimming around on a dive, not expecting to see a great white and see one, you know.
You know, that happened to me on the Spiegel Grove back in 2003-ish.
Yeah, really?
We were down there and we're looking at this big shark and I'm like, oh, is that a bull? No, it's not. Oh my gosh, it's a great one. And it wasn't a big one. It was probably... I don't know, 10 foot,
right?
9 foot. So well, it might have been a smaller nap, but it was definitely a pointer. You know, once you get that torpedo shape, it's like there's no other shark for that shape.
Yeah, in Australia, they call them white pointers or bronzer sharks or something like that, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I mean, the pucker factor might go up a little bit when you see one, but I think I'd still be pretty awestruck as well.
Well, you know, the thing that really amazes you, unlike the video, when we saw it, you know, we sort of sank to the bottom of the, you know, sank to the deck of the Spiegel. Then we realized it was ignoring us. You know, say, hello, we're over here.
Right.
You're supposed to come and harass us. This is part of what we're paying for.
Yeah, come on. We want to take a picture. We want people to believe we saw a great white. Come on over here.
There's blood in the water. Come on. What's wrong?
So you reach over and slit the Achilles heel of your dive buddy. And. And that draws him in.
Guys are four, not the and,
fight. Yeah, yeah, it draws him in with the blood, and it also keeps him full. You know, he fills up on that diver before he gets to you. No, that isn't how it works. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, they have no interest in you, unless maybe you're spearfishing. Now, if I was spearing fish, now I don't usually spearfish, I would be a little bit concerned if I saw a great white, let alone a bull or a tiger shark, I'd be concerned with as well. But you know, we have this new element now, Pete, which I love doing the lionfish thing. And there's a couple of videos out there of sharks, you know, being interested by some people that are going after the lionfish, which is becoming more and more popular with everyday recreational divers like myself. And I, you know, the thing is what I've said before, whenever you're doing any kind of hunting, whether it's lobstering, spearfishing, or, you know, spearing for lionfish, you have to accept that responsibility that once you put yourself in that situation where you are going into the mode of hunter and you are going to go and rustle lobsters, dead fish, or whatever, there is a chance you have increased your chances tenfold of having an unfortunate encounter with a shark, a moray eel, or some other critter that wants that fish as well. Are you with me on this, right?
I agree. And you know what? Most people don't realize when they're spearing, it's not the blood that hits the water that attracts the shark. It's that death tremor. It's that death vibration. And if you go into the water with a Pepsi bottle or Coke bottle, a little one, and crinkle it, you're going to find sharks there because they're attracted to vibrations. They're attracted to noise more than anything.
Yeah, that's right. You take a little, one of those tricks is, you know, like a Zephyr Hills a bottle of water, one of those plastic bottles. And you take it down there at depth and you crunch it up a little bit, whether it's the crunching of the bone sound or the vibration that puts out. I've seen how sharks are all of a sudden very interested in what's going on. And if they're in the area, they may come in and investigate. But now, even in that situation, they don't generally come in and attack you or anything.
And the fish. They're not, that's what I said earlier, the correction is they're not interested in the diver. They're interested in the fish the diver has.
That's right. Yeah, they may think there's some food in the area that they can get to, and depending on the situation, the visibility or whatever, you know, if you're in between that fish and the shark, there could be a problem. And, you know, there's certain situations where they can look at you as a competitor. There's been that theory as well, as when spear fishermen are down there and they spear a fish, that other sharks have come in and come after the spear fishermen. And the theory was that they look at you as like another shark that's trying to get that fish. But, hey, I'll take out the guy so I can get the fish myself.
It's a territorial thing.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That's the thinking. Who knows what's really going on? We don't know. But regardless, it's assumed responsibility. If you're going to partake in that particular type of activity, just know that you could could encounter a shark or a moray or any kind of fish for that matter that could put you in a situation where you could do a little harm to yourself. But don't blame the sharks. Don't blame anybody else but yourself. Assume that responsibility. If you're not willing to do it, don't do that activity, period.
And do it right.
Yeah, do it right and assume the responsibility. Simple as that. That's how my feeling is about it. I think you can do it. You can do it safely. And, nothing's foolproof or 100%. But look, nothing irks me more than when you see those videos like that great white thing where he kind of makes it look like the great white's coming after him. And it's like this great white's in the water and this diver's in the water and the shark's coming after him. He's not coming after him but for doing nothing. He was obviously spearfishing or doing something that was attracting attention from the shark.
Go outside, put some kibbles in your pocket, and watch the dog swarm you. Okay, it's not a bad dog, is that they want the kibbles in your pocket.
That's right. It's a hungry dog. That's all. What are you going to do? And, very good analogy, actually, because chances of getting bit by dogs are way higher than they are by sharks.
Definitely.
When you look at the numbers,
back
too.
Back to what we were talking about with the spearing, most people don't realize that once you spear something, the first thing you got to do is stop that shaking. And it's harder with a lionfish because you've got poisonous spines. And so you got to be real quick about it, but you got to go around those spines. You don't want to get, stung while you're killing a fish. But you've got to kill that fish quick.
Get it done and get it put away and to the surface and you'll be okay. Exactly. It almost rhymed or something there. All right, more coming up with Pete from Scuba Board. Stay close. Welcome back to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Got Pete from Scuba Board on the line. We've been talking a lot about sharks and all kinds of stuff, but let's go to a happy place, or I should say maybe a place you've just been to, Pete. Well, are you just
like
in
Roatan, where we fed the sharks?
You fed the sharks in Roatan? Is that what you're telling me?
We fed the sharks. We went diving with dolphins. We petted 100-pound black grouper. It was just stinking awesome.
Loved it. Was that right there off of your bungalow? Don't they have those cottages right on the water there in Roatan at Anthony's
they
Key? Isn't that where you were?
We call them cabanas.
Cabanas, okay.
And I guess I was the cabana boy.
Oh, boy.
But it was just awesome. It was beautiful, beautiful weather. Anthony Keys Resort, awesome place to go to. If you haven't decided, they've got two thumbs way up. Diving was easy. The place was wonderful food. It's hard not to go wrong there.
Hard not to get along. But you just went out there. What was the big highlight? Or was it just all those things you listed? Was there one particular thing that you really thought was super impressive?
There was so many. The staff, I think, was the most impressive. I've never felt more welcome by any staff in the entire world as I felt on Anthony Keys. From the guy who drove the little boat across the canal to take us to where we're actually on a little island, which is, Anthony's Key, right off the main island. And from that guy to the guy who brought me breakfast to the dive master who swapped over my tanks every time, I had not found a friendlier resort anywhere.
Nice. So they just spoiled your rut, is what you're saying.
They did. It was awesome. It was hard to leave. It was the hardest place to leave because it was just so nice.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've never been there to the actual resort. I've been to one of their sister properties there where they have their little mini island for some of the cruise ship passengers that visit Roatan. But I got to go back there. I love the idea of those bungalows on the stilts. That just sounds cool to me.
And they're clean and they're air conditioned because us Americans, we don't like, you know, to actually feel the heat.
Right. Yeah, we don't want that. You can go to anthonyskeyresort.com or just Google it, and you'll find everything you need right there. All right, more coming up on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Oh, what made you finally decide to sell?
Moving to the Cayman Islands.
Oh, that'll be a change from Seattle.
Gee, you think?
Yeah, they have great scuba diving down there. You scuba?
Do I look like I scuba? I'm lucky I don't need a tank to breathe on land.
How I wish you were here. We're just two lost souls swimming.
Well, I'm not sure if she's a lost soul, but she's definitely traveling around the world. We finally caught up with Roz, who worked herself to the bone last week there for Dive Tech USA. But she is on Scuba Radio right now via Skype from Grand Cayman. And welcome, Roz. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you, Greg. Yeah, it's wonderful over here at Grand Cayman. Sky's blue, very sunny, warm palm trees, going diving. What's not to love?
Well, I'm hip. I mean, the weather's been great. And, you know, any good weather there for Tech Dive USA down in South Florida. Head right over to Cayman for Innerspace. We'll get to that in just a bit. And why you're over there kicking back in the Caymans. But let's talk about, you know, Dive Tech USA from your perspective. From everyone we've talked to so far, whether it's Pete from Scuba Board or Dan Orr and Eric Douglas, they all had a big time. And from what I saw on Facebook and some of the pictures and things that you've posted, it looks like it was a huge success. Well, what say you?
Yes, it was a huge success.
Well,
it
there
was
you
fantastic.
Go.
We had over 400 attendees. We had divers come from 15 different countries, as far as Australia and Finland and Galapagos and Europe. It was very good. So we had lots of different divers come in. We had some quite important divers come in. We had the head of the American Academy of Underwater Science. We had National Park Service come in. Mm. So it was all very exciting.
Now, what did, like, for instance, the National Park Service came in, I would assume, or are we talking about access to some of the national parks for, you know, cave diving in the U.S. and stuff like that? Or what are you trying to do with those folks?
Well, there's a submerged team, and they're based out of Colorado.
Ah.
And they look after, as you said, submerged stuff. They look after everything underwater. So everything from, I believe, Pearl Harbor through to Lake Mead, where there's a bomber. Down into the Keys. They look after, because you've got a whole series of national parks over there, haven't you? You've got Yellowstone and places like that.
Right. I'm trying to dive one of those geysers. I think that'd be an awesome dive. What do you think?
I think it would be fantastic. and these guys are really up with it and switched on and a good team to go and play with. They're very, very nice guys. We had one guy come in from Fort Jefferson, which is in Outer Dry Tortugas.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a play. I wanted to go there and do some diving. Have you been out there or no?
Yes, I went out with MV Spree last year, last Easter.
Ah.
And did a night dive, and it was really quite magical, actually, mooching around there. And then we landed on Fort Jefferson just as dawn was breaking. We couldn't land until dawn broke.
Yeah.
And we were allowed on there, and we met up with a national park ranger. And I said, oh, hello, where are you off to? And he said, I'm going to go and raise the flag. And I said, oh, fantastic, can I come and watch? And he said, yes. And we walked around the walls, and the walls were beautiful. They're the big, brick walls, very, very red.
Right.
And the sun was coming up, and they just glowed. There was this just magic, magic light at dawn. And it was very quiet and peaceful, and there were birds flying. And we got to the flag stand, and I said, can I raise the flag? And he said, yes. And it was just him and me, and it was kind of the best moment. If I had to choose one moment from last year, raising the flag at Fort Jefferson at dawn was just it.
Now, wait a minute, Roz. Now, you're not from the U.S., though. Did you feel guilty that you were raising a U.S. flag as opposed to the British flag? Wouldn't that made you feel better?
I felt deeply honored, actually, but I was allowed to do it.
Okay, well, that's right. And you're as much as you travel, you might as well be a U.S. citizen, the way I look at it. You travel more than anyone I know. I'm surprised you're as chipper as you are today, because I know all the work that went into Tech Dive USA in South Florida last weekend was exhaustive. I mean, and by the way, I did see some of those pictures on Facebook of you passed out. I don't know if that was after booze or just working all day, but I had sympathy for you. You hear what I'm saying?
It was working all day and working all night, but I had a fantastic team behind me. A pile of Brits came in for it, and they helped support me, and they were just brilliant, and I wouldn't have been able to do it without them. So this is a thank you to Lisa and Mike and Chloe and Rick and Sally. They were just fantastic. You probably saw some pictures on Facebook with guillotines and sweets and things like that, did you?
Well, evidently I missed that list. I didn't see any guillotines, so I'm not sure what that was all about, but I'm going to have to dig a little deeper, it sounds like. That sounds like something worthwhile checking out on Facebook. But anyway, let's get back on track here, Roz, because I want to talk about some of the things that happened at Tech Dive USA last week. And tell me, what stood out in your mind as some of the highlights, or maybe things that personally you learned yourself that you didn't know before?
The highlights for me, it was we had a gala award dinner on Saturday night, and it was fantastic to be able to. We ran a survey for the awards, so the public, the divers, all voted for the awards, which makes them very special.
Okay.
And there's two cave explorers, Brett Hemphill and Andy Pitkin, and they've been doing quite a bit of work with Phantom Cave and elsewhere, and they won the Exploration Award, and it was just great being on stage.
All right, where is Phantom Cave? I'm not aware of this.
So it's Texas.
It's where?
It's in Texas.
Okay, so it's a huge cave system in Texas called Phantom Cave.
Yes, and you really don't get access to it, but they were able to go and get access on a scientific permit because they were working with Tom Iliff, Dr. Tom Iliff. Hmm. They did some quite extreme penetration in there.
And they did some diving too. Hello, ba-dum-psh, thank you. I'll be here all week. It was just too easy. But what's unique about that cave system? Was it just the fact that they got access to it, or did they find something in this system that was quite unique for that area or the world or what?
Well, doing the double entendres, they did. they actually found a lot of virgin passageway. They did a lot of cave surveying.
You're making this really difficult, Roz. Really. All right, whatever. Okay, so they found some places that had never been explored before underwater. And
yeah, so should we say moving on here?
Yes.
we had Dive of the Conference, and Dive of the Conference was Lamar Hyers. Now, Lamar Hyers, of course, runs Dive Right, and he's done an awful lot to extend and promote and develop side mount diving. So it was rather good to see him win this award. Yeah. And then we had Mark Powell, who's a Brit, and he this is quite from my point of view, this is quite sweet, because in 2008 we launched Eurotech, and Mark Powell unveiled his book. He launched his book called Decode for Divers at Eurotech, and then he won the publication award in 2010 at Eurotech. Well, last weekend he won the media award at Tech Dive USA for Decode for Divers. So it was just quite special, that.
Okay, well, what did everybody think about his presentation about divers are dumb, or something that Pete from Scuba Bore was talking about earlier? I kind of liked it. I think I got what he was trying to say, but I told Pete, I said, did anybody get up and walk out feeling slightly offended? Like, hey, I'm a diver, but I'm not that dumb, or I don't know. What was that all about?
It was called Why Divers Do Stupid Things.
Mm-hmm.
And
because we can. No.
We do.
Yeah, evidently we do. Yeah.
And it's as long as you remember, you end up making a mistake and you get out of it safe and sound and you learn from it and you don't do it again and you stop others from doing it. It's just when it goes really, really bad and you damage yourself or kill yourself or kill somebody else that it's not so good.
Right. Then you're really dumb. So, yeah. You know, you go to the seminar, you learn how not to be as dumb as maybe most divers have a tendency to be. I don't know. But it was an entertaining type of presentation. At least that's what I heard from Pete from Scuba Board. Is that what you got as far as the consensus of everybody else there? Was that Tech Dive USA?
All the talks went down very well. And Mark Powell certainly did. But we had 40 different talks and all the rooms were busy.
Yeah.
And we had names that people knew and names that people didn't know. And we had some really very popular talks. Evan Kovacs came in and he talked about Britannic, which is Titanic's bigger sister.
Right.
And that was pretty packed. And it was great. You walked in through the front door and there was such a buzz and a hum on the exhibition floor.
Well, and this is the first annual of a biannual event. That's the goal, right?
Yeah, that's the goal. So it's going to be happening in 2016. Not sure where yet, but it's going to be happening, and we're going to have meetings soon about it.
All right.
A date, I'll let you know.
Well, let's make it a little closer to Orlando. Make it even easier for me, like I had an excuse this time. All right, that's enough about this. We'll talk about what she's doing in Cayman next, right here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Dive Master sitting by the phone now, wishing it would ring, hoping that it's you on the other end of the line. Tug on his line now at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why we've added Nanook protective hard cases to our list of products you can now purchase on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. Underwater photographers, listen up. From their high-impact NK7 resin to their exclusive power claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook protective cases cost less than similar products currently on the market. The company has been around for over 15 years, but it's new to the U.S., so we've made a small number of Nanook cases available exclusively for you at a special introductory price on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Go there now and check out Nanook, the evolution of protection.
I'm always the first to run low on air.
I'm adjusting my BCD all the time.
It feels that I spent half my dive swimming back to the dive boat and on the surface.
You can learn to improve your diving so that you can feel more confident with your skills and more comfortable in the water thanks to the Professional Association of Dive Instructors. Peak Performance Buoyancy and the Navigation Specialty Course are just a few of the many PADI offerings to consider. Visit PADI.com to find the PADI Dive Center nearest you. PADI, the way the world learns to dive.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at scubaradio.com.
Scuba Radio.
Prepare to rig for dive!
Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Hey, hey, who wants to have some fun?
Come on, get down, get on down. Come on, get down, get down. Come on, get down, get on down. Come on, get down, get down. Come on, get down, get on down. Get down, get down, get down. Get down. Get down. Get down. Get down.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg, the Dive Master. I'm talking with Roz, our, UK correspondent. She knows everybody, especially in the tech diving world. She just finished up Tech Dive USA, and that wasn't enough for her, evidently. In South Florida, she finished that up last weekend, headed straight over to the Cayman Islands, and now she's kicking back there at Dive Tech and getting ready for the, today's the kickoff day for Innerspace. Is that right, Roz?
Yes, it is. Everybody's flying in today, and I'm really quite excited because there's going to be people who were at Tech Dive USA last weekend and some who didn't make it. And Innerspace. So what's Innerspace all about? Well, Nancy Easterbrook set up this event 11 years ago.
Yeah.
And it was to get people involved who are interested in rebreathers or who dive rebreathers together for a week. For a week of celebration of diving, and so we end up with people who are brand new and just learning to dive them. We end up with people who dive them recreationally. We end up with people who are getting into trimix, and then we got expedition trimix. So there's three different boats, and they go off in the mornings. And also, you can do shore diving here, which is great. It's good. They've got really good facilities here at Cobalt Coast at Dive Tech.
Yes, they do indeed. And so last weekend you were talking about it, and this weekend you're actually doing it. That's kind of like how it works, right? So yeah. you do have a lot of crossover with some of the people that were at both events. And I know there at Dive Tech, there's a new statue there off of Grand Cayman that's like a sister statue to the mermaid they have off the coast of Sunset House. It's like Poseidon or King of the Reef or something. One of our listeners was telling me about it. I was over in Cayman for a little cruise trip that I had a couple weeks ago, but I didn't get out on the island and take a look. But I believe it's over there on the off the west coast of Cayman, over there by Dive Tech. Have they said anything to you about it or what?
It's made by, Dive Tech is 20 years old, and Nancy and Jay wanted to do something to celebrate their 20th anniversary of Dive Tech. So they thought, well, they could do like $20 off 20 dives or something like that. And they decided instead it would be nicer to have a legacy. And so they commissioned Simon Morris, who did the same statue of Sunset House.
Right.
And he made something called Guardian of the Sea. And he was sunk about the 16th of April, I think, he went down. And I'm looking forward to diving him this week. And he's off Lighthouse Point. Now, Lighthouse Point is an interesting building because it's an environmental building.
Mm-hmm.
Jay and Nancy put a lot of effort into it to try and make it as environmentally friendly as they could. So, like, wind generation and environmentally friendly concrete and lots of recycling. And he's just sunk out there in, I think, about 10 metres, which is about 30 foot.
Right.
And I saw him at DEMA, and there's a picture of me with him at DEMA, and I want to try and get the same shot as I can when I go and see him.
Did they actually have the statue at DEMA that they sank off of Cayman?
Yes, they brought him into DEMA so we could all get photographs of him at DEMA.
No, I think I remember seeing that. That was actually in the DEMA section, wasn't it? Or was it in the Cayman? Yeah, okay, I do remember seeing it. I was like, wow, they got some pretty impressive displays here at the show this year. I didn't realize that was the actual statue, but that was.
Yeah, that was the Guardian of a Reef. So
well, there
he's
you
now
go. Okay.
Sunk.
All right. So now the thing is, so this statue, this Guardian of the Reef, was made by the same artist that did the mermaid statue off of Sunset House. And I'm not sure if you're aware of this. I was talking about this a couple weeks ago, but there are two very shiny places on that bronze statue of that mermaid statue. You hear what I'm saying? Do you know what I'm talking to or referring to exactly?
I couldn't possibly imagine at all, Greg.
Well, let's just say it's a mermaid. She's female. She's topless. The rest is pretty obvious.
So
why it's so shiny?
Their hands, are they?
They're basically they're just trying to keep the coral growth at bay. You know, they want to keep it nice and shiny. So my question to you is: on the Guardian of the Reef, will there be such a spot on this particular statue that will have a tendency to stay shinier than the rest of the statue?
He's got a magnificent fishtail.
Is it a fishtail or a booty? Is it, I mean, you got to, I don't remember what the, I kind of vaguely remember it, but I don't know if, you know, from your perspective, would you find a
merman.
It's a what?
Merman.
It's a merman. So is there any place on there that you might want to go and keep clean, or the female divers might find a little more appealing to, in that sense, or no?
I think he's probably going to get a lot of kisses.
A lot of kisses. Okay. Yeah, that's about as tame as we can get. Okay. Maybe they learned their, you know, learn from their past experience. Let's do something a little bit more tame and let the coral grow everywhere over the, except on his lips. Okay, sure. Why not?
He's quite magnificent.
Oh, I'm sure. He's a guardian of the reef. He has to be. You know, he'll poke you with his trident if you get out of line, I guess, right? Something like
that?
All right. So are you going to be diving some new rebreathers yourself, or doing anything on a technical side along that line, or what?
I'm going to get trained on the Poseidon rebreather. They've got the new 7 out. It came out at DEMA last year.
Yeah.
And I was trying to get some training early this year, and I was busy with Tech Dive USA. Well, tomorrow I'm going to be getting start my training on my Poseidon rebreather, so I'm looking forward to doing that.
Well, excellent. Well, you can get the training on your Poseidon rebreather and then go give Poseidon a big, fat, juicy kiss underwater there.
Thank you very much, Greg. Nice to know what I'm doing this week, then.
He'll show up on Facebook and be censored accordingly or something like that. All right, well, that'll do it for hour two. Oh, and by the way, just check out Inner Space in Grand Cayman. You can Google it and it'll come up and you'll find all the information you need about this. If not participating for this year, maybe you can plan for next year. All right, till next week, remember, it's always better. Where, Roz?
Down where it's wetter, Greg. You know.
Absolutely. Safe diving, everybody.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Scuba Radio.
This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know, what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.